Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
The Hammer and Nigel Show. Hello, my name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer over there with a special guest on the hotline.
She is one half of the Chicks on the Right program. WIBC alumni Mock joins us. Mock Arena, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Great. So I feel like this should be a bigger story. It was one of those things that kind of happened when a lot of other things were going on, so it really wasn't front and center of the news cycle. But every single Senate Democrat voted to continue these illegal migrant flights where 40-plus airports around the country are receiving, whether they like it or not, these migrants from other countries. And we're paying for it as taxpayers. The Biden administration is on board with this, and every Senate Democrat voted to continue this. It feels like this should be a much bigger deal.
You would think it would be, but it basically proves that Democrats they want this to happen. They want to bring in as many people that they see as potential Democrat voters as they possibly can. So this is very much by design. But then I would also argue that the reason it's not feeling like the big deal that it is because Republicans keep shooting themselves in their own feet. And so, you know, we've got more chaos again on the House side with Marjorie Taylor Greene deciding that she's going to try to vacate Mike Johnson's speakership and all this nonsense playing right into the hands of Democrats once again. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, and this is something Nigel and I talked about this past week. The Republicans are really good at giving you sound bites and going to the media and having quotes and having hearings. And we play the sound clips. You guys play the sound clips. But ultimately, nothing ever gets done. Like, as much as I like Jim Jordan and Comer and the Good Time Party Gang there, I'm a little tired of the zingers. I want something done, anything.
Well, and the only way that things can get done is if Republicans gain a bigger majority. But right now, we've got all these people deciding to retire in the middle of their terms, which is infuriating. And which also, and I don't mean to be like all tinfoil hat-wearing person here, but that also seems very much by design, especially when you hear Ken Buck, who left, whatever, last week or whatever, when he says things like, you shouldn't be worried about me leaving, you should be worried about the next three people that are leaving, like he knows that's happening, that makes the burr go up, right? I mean, like, that seems really weird. And then we've got Mike Gallagher deciding to leave next month. And now there's all the speculation that these Republicans that are leaving are actually handing the Democrats, you know, Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker, and that the eventual goal is that they want to get the Dems in the majority so that they can pass legislation that prevents Trump from running. So all of this seems very, very orchestrated and weird.
So these never Trump swamp monster Republicans, the ones that are probably BFF with ousted Speaker McCarthy, this is kind of their Empire Strikes Back.
It feels like it. I mean, you know, this is, again, these are the theories that they're working out in the ether right now. But man, it does feel like that because every time we turn around, someone else is deciding to resign in the middle of their term, which is such a crappy thing to do anyway. When you asked for votes and got them, do your job.
And when they say Trump is a threat to democracy, they're really talking about themselves. If you look what Biden and the DOJ are doing, they are trying to keep Trump off ballots in certain states. They're trying to keep RFK Jr. off the ballot in certain states. They are trying to bankrupt their political opponent. They're trying to actively incarcerate their political opponent. And I'd say the threat to democracy, Mock, is probably somewhere on the other side.
Yes, and it's always about projection. Everything that they accuse the right of doing is stuff that they're already doing. Kamala just said, like, over the weekend, she was asked about, you know, the threat to democracy. Trump is such a threat, and that Trump is threatening to weaponize the DOJ against his political rivals. And I was like, do you even hear the words coming out of your face? That is literally what you guys are doing. What in the world?
Do you think the public is finally catching on to a lot of this nonsense? Because for so long, even maybe last year, the year before, and every year before that, the media kind of controlled the narrative. They controlled the talking points. I've seen this past year, especially, a lot of people flipping the script saying, we don't believe a damn word you say. And this kind of comes back to the bloodbath comment that Donald Trump made a couple weekends ago. He's clearly talking about the auto industry, but then you've got Joe Scarborough, the Good Time Party gang at CNN, talking about, well, if he loses the election, he's talking about violence, bloodbath. I think pretty damn quickly,
everybody did.
Everybody clapped back and said, no, 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 no. We're not doing this dance. We're watching this play out in real time. You're not doing that. And I know you posted, I think it was on your Twitter account, some BS headline from ABC News about Daniel Penny, and a lot of people started clapping back. I think we've kind of reached that breaking point with about 90% of the national media here.
I would love to believe that that's true. I think there's still plenty of work to do. Now, and this actually ties into that. You guys saw that Ronna McDaniel got hired by NBC, right? So she's a political commentator for NBC now. And they are losing their mind. Like, the other hosts are Chuck Todd, Joe Scarborough, Mika. They are losing their minds because they're like, oh, my God, we can't trust her to be credible because who knows if she was telling the truth for the RNC or if she's telling the truth for her paycheck now. And they had no problem with George Stephanopoulos, with Jen Psaki, with themselves. Like, all of them are getting paychecks. And so, again, it feels like projection, right? Now, I am not a Ronna fan, and I think it's gross that she's gone there. But this, for them to be outraged by her presence as a former RNC chairwoman to be hired by NBC, it's like, this is what you guys do. You always hire people out of politics to become political commentators. You don't get to be all outraged now.
Right. They hyped up Jen Psaki like she was the second coming of Rachel Maddow, which if you look at the numbers of her horrible weekend show, it's a train wreck. So that's not working out. But they were just fine with that. But Ronna McDaniel comes over to NBC. And keep in mind, it's not like Matt Gaetz is coming over. It's Ronna freaking McDaniel, and everybody's losing their mind.
I know. I mean, it's just, they're such hypocrites. And I think that ties in to what you're talking about, where the public, and at least, you know, at least it's the public that we can see on Twitter, right? That people are not tolerating this bullcrap from the media outlets any longer. We know, we see your tactics. We recognize them. We've gone through this, you know, dog and pony show before, and we are not falling for it. And so I think you see a lot more people not falling for those things on Twitter. I don't actually know how effective that is on other social platforms. Thank God for X, right? Like, thank God for Elon Musk and for X, because I don't know what we would be doing without it.
Speaking with Mock from the Chicks on the Right, Mock, the polling shows that Donald Trump making big time ground with black and legal Hispanic voters. Are you buying these polls?
It does feel like there is something to them, right? I'm usually very, very skeptical of polls, as I think everybody probably should be. But there, you know, when you start to see patterns this significant, I think there's something to it. And I think it's because people, no matter what the White House continues to tell them, because the other thing that I hear from the White House now is that crime is down. And I'm just like, you can say that all you want.
Yeah.
You can say that Bidenomics is working great, and you can say that crime is down. What people feel day to day is completely the opposite. And so everyone, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their background, everyone is feeling the negative effects of Bidenomics. And so that is going to change the minds. When you're seeing it in your paycheck or not seeing it in your paycheck, that is personal. And that's what changes people's votes.
as much as we've talked about, you know, the border and all these other things, it really comes back to money. And if you ask a lot of people, do you have more money in your pocket now than you did 4 years ago? The answer is probably going to be they had more money 4 years ago, and that's where their vote's going to go.
Exactly. And that again, is irrespective of whether they're Black or Hispanic or whatever. This is all impacting every single person in America. And that's what the White House seems to keep forgetting. They think that if they just say it enough times, that we're going to be like, oh, yeah, groceries aren't expensive. I don't know what I was thinking. You see what I mean? Like,
right.
The reality is just not what they are saying. They're trying to paint a picture that just isn't so.
And the reality, though, is that I take these polls with a grain of salt, because anybody can tell a pollster, yeah, I'm thinking about voting for Trump this time. But when the rubber meets the road and they go back there on that voting day to cast their vote, more often than not, they're going to vote for the same crap they're upset with. We see this in Chicago. We see this in LA, places like that. Everybody bitches, everybody moans, and they vote for the same crap. That's my fear.
No, I don't. I hate that. I don't like. No, I don't. I don't want. Just unsay.
No, Mock just says no. Okay.
Hey, can I tell you something real quick, Mock? Your interview you guys did with Glenn Beck was awesome. I think people should go back search out Glenn Beck podcast that he does. And you guys' interview was tremendous. I listened to the whole thing nonstop.
Oh, I'm so glad. I mean, we were so delighted with it because we didn't know what to expect. I mean, we were both fans.
Sure. I mean, he's at the top of his industry. He is the king in our world here.
The whole team there treated us so, they were so lovely to us, and we had such a good time with him. And it was so nice it felt very much like a conversation that was over lunch, right?
It
like
was.
It did not feel like an interview at all. We really, really had a great time. I'm so glad you listened.
She is one half of the Chicks on the Right, chicksontheright.com. Mock, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. See you later. Have a good week.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.